Hey everybody, welcome to another deep dive, and today we're going to be tackling Hosea chapter 8. And we've got some great insights from Dr. John Oswalt to help us kind of unpack it all. He is really a leading voice, I think, when it comes to understanding the Old Testament.
Oh, it's great to be here. Hosea is such a powerful book, just raw emotion and really truths that are still so relevant today.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that really jumps out at you is this idea that it's not about getting to God, but about the walk with God. And Hosea is pretty direct about the sins of Israel, and it's surprising how much they resonate even with our lives now.
Oh, I think that's what makes Hosea so compelling. Dr. Oswalt talks about how the purpose of the covenant is to reveal God's character and the character that he desires for us. And in doing so, it highlights our own human tendency towards sin.
Yeah, and he has this great analogy about holiness. He says it's not about being a little old lady with a flat back, black hat, long sleeves, long hems, a sweet smile and a wicked umbrella.
Yes.
He's a master at making complex theological ideas relatable.
He really is.
And that point about the covenant not being a ladder to God, but the path we walk with him after receiving his grace, it really made me think, how do our actions reflect what we believe about God? Are we living in a way that lines up with his character?
That's a question we should all be asking ourselves. And to understand that better, I think it's helpful to look at how the biblical covenant was different from other ancient law codes and treaties. It wasn't just about a distant king enforcing a set of rules. It was about a relationship. God had delivered his people, shown them grace, and the law was a way to live in that love and freedom he had given them.
So it's more about understanding why we follow the law, not just blindly following it. Like the Ten Commandments, for example. Four of them are about our relationship with God, and six are about how we treat each other.
Exactly. And Dr. Oswalt has this fascinating insight about the Tenth Commandment, the one about coveting. He points out that it's not just about material possessions. It goes deeper than that. It's about where we're putting our hope for happiness. Are we looking to things or are we looking to God?
That's so true. It really makes you think about where you're placing your own hope and trust. Like if our happiness depends on getting the next gadget or promotion, are we really putting God first?
That's the kind of question Hosea forces us to confront. And it leads us into these four main sins that Dr. Oswalt identifies in Hosea chapter 8.
Okay, so let's dive into those. The first one is setting up kings without God's consent. It seems like they were putting their trust in political systems to take care of them instead of relying on God.
That's right. And when you think about it, isn't that something we still struggle with today? We can be so quick to put our faith in politicians or government programs to solve all our problems. But ultimately, where should our trust lie?
It makes you wonder if we're sometimes guilty of the same thing. We might not be setting up literal kings, but what are we putting our trust in that maybe should be placed in God instead?
It's definitely something to reflect on. And then you have the second sin, making calf idols. Dr. Oswalt talks about how this represents the pervasive idolatry of our time.
It's like we're surrounded by idols, isn't it? We worship celebrities, we chase after wealth and status, we get caught up in entertainment.
It's everywhere. And the third sin, making deals with other nations, speaks to that tendency to put our trust in worldly alliances rather than God's faithfulness.
So instead of trusting God, they were looking to other nations for security and help. It makes you think about where we place our trust today.
Do we rely on our own strength, our bank accounts, our connections, or do we truly believe that God will provide for us?
It's a tough question. And finally, there's the issue of empty rituals. Dr. Oswalt calls them churches for sinning, going through the motions of religion without letting it change our hearts. Are there areas in our lives where we're just going through the motions of faith without letting it truly change us?
That's a challenging question, and I think it's one we need to wrestle with, honestly. Are we allowing our faith to impact our daily lives, our relationships, our choices?
It's a good question, yeah, and it brings us to the tone of Hosea chapter 8. God is clearly angry about the Israelites' unfaithfulness. But even in his anger, you can sense this deep love and longing for them to turn back to him.
It's powerful. It's a powerful reminder that God's discipline comes from a place of love. He doesn't want to punish us. He wants what's best for us.
Yeah, and Dr. Oswalt poses these really thought-provoking questions in the book. He asks, how long will they be incapable of purity? And how long will they be incapable of pure hearts? It makes you stop and think. What idols are we clinging to that are preventing us from experiencing true purity and wholeness in our relationship with God?
And he talks about how the Israelites had forgotten their maker. They were so focused on building their own kingdoms, accumulating wealth, chasing fleeting pleasures. You know, it's that eat, drink, and be merry mentality.
Yeah, it's so easy to fall into that trap, especially today when we're constantly bombarded with messages telling us to buy more, achieve more, experience more. It can be hard to resist that pressure. Dr. Oswalt mentions this example from the Wall Street Journal. There's a section in the Wall Street Journal called Mansion, and it features these extravagant houses worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
It's a stark reminder of how easily we can lose sight of what truly matters. We get so caught up in chasing after security and comfort that we forget that true security is only found in God.
Yeah, he tells this interesting story about Queen Victoria's Diamond Jubilee. Rudyard Kipling, the poet laureate, was commissioned to write a celebratory poem for the occasion. But instead of praising the empire, he wrote this really sobering reflection called Recessional about the fleeting nature of earthly power and the need for humility before God.
And the Times of London, which had commissioned the poem, they weren't exactly thrilled with Kipling's message.
It shows that even speaking truth to power, especially in kind of subtle ways, can sometimes be met with resistance.
It certainly can, but I think it underscores Dr. Oswald's point that true security and lasting joy aren't found in earthly kingdoms or possessions. They're found in a right relationship with God.
It really challenges us to think about where we place our trust. Are we building our lives on a foundation that will last? Dr. Oswald also talks about the danger of relying on our own conscience, because our conscience can be influenced by cultural norms and personal biases.
He shares this rather disturbing story about this young boy in New York who's part of a gang, and the boy felt guilty because he couldn't bring himself to shoot an old lady like the gang had demanded.
Wow, that's a chilling example of how our conscience can become distorted without a firm foundation in God's truth. Like our internal compass can get broken if it's not calibrated to the right standard.
Exactly. We need more than just good intentions or societal rules. We need a solid foundation in God's word to guide our steps and shape our hearts. And ultimately, that's what Dr. Oswald is getting at when he says the covenant is not the way to God. It is the walk with God.
So it's about aligning our lives, both inwardly and outwardly, with God's character and commands. It's about letting go of self-reliance and trusting in God's provision and grace.
It's about surrendering our own desires and embracing His will for our lives. And that's where the challenge comes in, isn't it? It requires us to constantly reevaluate our priorities, let go of our idols, and walk in obedience, even when it's hard.
It's a constant process of growth and transformation, but it's a challenge worth embracing because it leads to true freedom and lasting joy. And ultimately, it reflects the heart of God who desires a deep and intimate relationship with us, not just empty rituals or outward conformity. Yeah, it really is about the heart change, isn't it, when we surrender to God? As we wrap up our deep dive into Hosea 8, what are some key takeaways we can apply to our own lives? What really stood out to you?
I think Dr. Oswald's closing challenge really sums it up. He says the covenant is not the way to God. It is the walk with God. It's not about reaching a destination. It's about the journey itself.
Well, that's powerful. So our relationship with God isn't a one-time transaction. It's an ongoing process of growth and change. It's about continually coming back to Him, surrendering our hearts, and allowing Him to shape us.
And that journey, I think, requires honesty. We have to be willing to examine our hearts, identify the things we're clinging to that maybe we shouldn't be, and realign our lives with Paul's truth.
It makes me think about the things I prioritize in my own life. Am I chasing after things that will ultimately leave me empty? Or am I pursuing the things that really matter?
That's a question we should all be asking ourselves regularly. It's so easy to get caught up in the busyness of life and lose sight of what's truly important. Dr. Oswald talks about how the Israelites got distracted by building their own kingdoms, accumulating wealth, and seeking pleasure. And in the process, they forgot about their relationship with God.
It's like they traded true fulfillment for fleeting satisfaction. And honestly, I think we can all relate to that on some level.
Absolutely. We live in a culture that constantly tells us we need more, that we need to achieve more, that we need to experience more. But all of that is temporary. It's like chasing after the wind.
Yeah. So what does it look like then to move beyond those empty pursuits and find true satisfaction in God?
Well, I think it starts with recognizing that God desires a genuine relationship with us. He wants us to know Him, to understand His character, and to allow His love to transform us from the inside out.
So it's about letting go of our self-sufficiency and our need to control everything. It's about trusting that He knows what's best for us and that He will provide for us.
Yeah, and as we grow in our relationship with God, it should overflow into our interactions with others. Our lives should become a reflection of His love and grace.
It's about letting our faith impact every aspect of our lives, not just compartmentalizing it to Sundays or some religious activities.
Exactly. It's about a transformed heart, a life that's marked by love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Wow. When you put it that way, it's pretty clear how far short we often fall. But it's also incredibly inspiring to think about the kind of people we can become as we walk with God and allow Him to work in us.
It's a lifelong journey, but it's a journey worth taking. And even though we'll stumble along the way, God's grace is always there to pick us up and set us back on the right path.
That's a beautiful reminder. So as we end our deep dive today, I want to leave you with this question. What steps can you take to make sure your walk with God is genuine, transforming, and reflects His love in the world?
It's a question worth pondering. And remember, it's not about striving for perfection. It's about continually seeking a deeper, more authentic relationship with God, allowing His grace to shape you from the inside out.
Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We hope it's encouraged where to reflect on your own walk with God and to seek Him with all your heart.